A very good evening to you. It is Leah on MKFM, back with the MK Mental Health Hour, where we dedicate an hour every single month at 7 o'clock on a Sunday evening with local organisation Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support to provide a bit of a safe space to discuss a variety of mental health topics, as well as share expert practical advice. Now, each show we are joined by John Manning, who is the founder of Arthur Ellis, as well as an expert in that topic that we'll be discussing. And this Sunday, we're going to be talking all about social prescribing. But before we get into that, John, welcome back to the studio.
Evening, Leah.
Evening, lovely Hello. To see you.
Nice to see you. You all right?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks. How are
Good.
You?
Hot.
Hot. It is
but
quite
okay.
warm. Good.
If anyone's ever seen me, I'm quite fair, so I've been shade hopping
right.
for quite a while
yeah,
now,
good.
Which has been wonderful.
Well done, that's good practice.
Yeah, thank you.
Well done.
You.
So if anybody hasn't heard about Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support before, tell us a little bit about what you do in the local community.
Yes, absolutely. Well, so we work with a variety of GP surgery schools to enable well-being into their community. So we have a one-to-one service, very holistic, not necessarily clinical. It's more guiding people through coping strategies and supporting people to learn them so that they can improve their lives. So that's anyone from the age of 8 years old upwards. So we've got quite an emphasis on children and making sure that they've got support, but it's really for anybody. So people can self-refer or introduce us to their organisations, and we run big corporate workplace well-being programs to move well-being on within businesses, and that helps to fund and subsidize these sessions.
Amazing. You do so much great work, and on top of kind of that day job, you're always doing loads of great stuff in the community as well. And coming up, you've got your summer party.
We do. So
party,
we're hosting party. Yeah, it's kind of something that eventually I would really like to turn into a big sort of well-being festival within Milton Keynes and eventually nationally.
Amazing.
I've got big plans, but this is a festival that we're putting on for the local NHS, so all of the GP surgeries are coming, some schools are coming, local businesses and local community groups, so that we can essentially show our appreciation to them. And there's going to be a variety of activities and just generally getting these communities together so that they can network, and hopefully that has a knock-on effect to the support that we can actually get in place for children and young people.
Brilliant. So you have already kind of sent out your invitations, but you are still looking for maybe businesses, if there's any local businesses that are currently listening, to possibly sponsor the event?
Absolutely, yeah. So if anyone does want to get in touch, it would be great to find a sponsor. At the minute it's not, which obviously is quite an outlay, especially for a community group like
Absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely.
So it would be really good if any organisations might want to get involved and get exposure and come along as well. To enjoy the day, then that would be awesome to chat to anybody.
So if somebody's interested in that, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so we've just got a brand new website that's launched, so they can go to www.arthurellismhs.com, and there's either a chatbot on the website or they can just send through an inquiry and I'll pick it up directly and give them a shout.
Fantastic. Best of luck with the event as well.
Thank
I'm sure
you.
It's all going to go very, very well.
Sun cream.
Yes,
sun cream.
That's what you need.
Absolutely.
All the sun cream.
Well, fingers
cream.
Crossed anyway, hopefully.
Yes.
Or umbrellas.
Yeah. Either way, it's going to be fantastic. We're also joined in the studio this evening by Jeanne Young. Hello, Jeanne.
Hi, Leah.
Welcome to the studio. It's so nice to have you with us this evening.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a bit about what you do, Jeanne.
So I'm a social prescribing link worker, and I work for the Bridge PCN in Milton Keynes, which is three surgeries that have joined together to form a primary care network. So that's the Newport Pagnell Medical Centre, Kingfisher and Brooklands. And I take referrals from GPs. Well, actually, to be fair, it's any health professional within the GP surgery can send us a referral. So if you speak to the receptionist and she notices you might need some social prescribing support, she can also, or that she or she can send us a referral. And we support non-medical needs, but we're there to help maintain your health and well-being. So it's to empower the patients to have the best well-being possible through engagement with their local community. So I would link you to local support services within your community that can help you. That's briefly what we do.
So I can understand now why it's link worker, because you're basically linking a lot of different people up.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Well, that sounds really, really fascinating. And we are going to be talking all about what is social prescribing, because that was it kind of in a nutshell. But we're going to
yes.
kind of do a bit of a deeper dive right after this. So on this evening's Mental Health Hour, I'm joined by John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and Jeanne Young, who is a social prescribing link worker here in Milton Keynes. So firstly, let's just start with the basics then, Jeanne. What is social prescribing?
So social prescribing is linking patients to services in their local community that can support their health and well-being. That's kind of it in a brief nutshell. So we would receive a referral from a health professional within the GP surgeries that I work in. So you perhaps you'd go to your GP and say, I feel really lonely and isolated. I'm depressed. I haven't been out of the house for ages. I don't know what's on in my local area. Can you help me? And so the GPs don't know what's on in the local area. It's our job to know. It's our job to research and find out what's going on, what's shut, what isn't, what we can signpost people to. So I would then take that referral and go and visit that patient and have a nice long chat about what matters to them, what's important to them, what are their likes and dislikes, you know, and then try and find something for them in the community to help them. So it could be that they love swimming, or that they want a new bike and they want to go biking, or they love walking, or they want to do knitting. These are all examples of things that I found for patients. If they're struggling with their mental health because of their social isolation as well, we can do referrals to mental health services. We aren't mentally health trained, but we can spot, you know, if people are struggling, and people will say generally as well, I'm not doing too good. And it helps that we can bring it up as well. That really helps, because sometimes you need to actually kind of draw things out of people.
I was going
to
say, sometimes I don't necessarily know what I need or know what I want. I just know that something doesn't feel quite right. So can you guide people towards things that you feel is appropriate? Or like, do people need to go and specifically ask for stuff? Or can you sort of form a plan with them?
It's both. So if they know what they want and they say, I've had this support before, please can you refer me?
I know that works. I need another round of it, or whatever.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, nice. We can do that. And if I can't do that referral, I can ring the services that can, or signpost to services, or email whoever and say, you've supported this person before. Please, they've come for some more. They want some more help. And then I can, judging by what people have said to me, what the patient said to me in our session, I can say, well, how about doing this may improve your mental health and well-being. Perhaps a bit of exercise, walk around the block before bedtime. If you're asking people what they like and what's important to them, often that's going to help with their mental health, isn't it? They just might need some help to do it.
And just some guidance.
Some guidance, absolutely, and perhaps some support if they're feeling anxious about having to go and do it again by themselves because they've not been out for so long, especially because of the pandemic. They don't know what's open. Then we can support that too. So we would support you up to probably 3 times, just so that you've got your confidence back and are able to take yourself along to the places you want to go.
So the first port of call for people is to go to the GP, and then do you actually go and visit people themselves, or do you see them in like a clinical setting? How does that work?
Yeah, so yes, you go and see your GP. By the way, it doesn't have to just be your GP, it could be anybody within the health centre, even from the receptionist up. So don't feel like you only have to speak to your GP. If you're having a physio appointment, you know, and that they pick up on something, they can send us a referral as well. So I would then make first contact with the patient. I'll accept the referral, or I'll give them a call and just explain who I am and what I do, which people generally aren't that aware of what social prescribing is. So from the phone call, you know, people still don't really kind of know what we do. But then I ask where they would like to meet. So often it is a home visit because people prefer to be in their own homes. Mm. However, if they aren't comfortable with me going to their house, then we can meet in surgery, or we could meet outside somewhere. In, you know, like a coffee shop, or, you know,
it's
somewhere.
Really flexible. That's really nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's all about making the patient feel comfortable and able to accept you trying to help them, basically.
So if somebody was nervous, because if take a coffee shop, for example, I would think that people in the coffee shop were looking at me and thinking, that's a medical appointment, there's something wrong with him.
Yeah.
So is it just like having a chat with a friend almost and getting to know each other?
Yes and no. And to be fair, it's very rare that we go into the community. I've only really done it a couple of times, and most people prefer in surgery because you are talking about quite sensitive topics.
Mm. Yeah, it's so very open, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So most people prefer at home or in the surgery. You are talking about sensitive topics, so they might not want to talk about that in public with people overhearing. So it's not really like chatting to a friend, but we are very friendly and we will make you feel comfortable and at home and relaxed enough to talk. So that's what we do, and that's the initial visit. And I have an assessment form with me, because often what's in the referral might not be actually what's going on. They've picked up on one thing, but actually there's a myriad of things that they might need support with. So we take an assessment form and we go through it. It depends on the patient, because some patients will just talk and you can just write and just make notes, and you don't need to ask too many questions. Obviously you will if you need to draw some things out, and then some patients are just very, very quiet and you will methodically go through it.
Yeah,
and
that's really what, need to explore it.
Absolutely, yeah. And draw out what it is that they're, you know, that's having an issue with. So you get generally the two types, people that talk a lot and people that are very quite quiet. So it's good to have that assessment form to go through, because then you can capture everything as well. Because if it's just because you've got socially isolated, but that might be because you've got no money and you've got debt problems and you can't afford to go anywhere, or your bike's broken and you can't get out, or the MOT on the car, you know, all of these things have an impact. And so if we can get the debt sorted out, so that means signposting and supporting perhaps to the Citizens Advice Bureau or Step Change or MK Money Lifeline. They're all getting a plug.
That's good, because they're all really, you know, valuable services in the community.
And then support the patients, you know, with that. Then they can perhaps afford to get the car fixed or to get a new bike.
Get a plan together. Get into action.
Personalised care and support plan. PCSP is what we aim to do. It's not appropriate for each patient because it might just be a quick signposting. But if you've got somebody with a lot of issues, you would kind of try and tackle one by one.
Brilliant. Well, I mean, you must have a huge wealth of knowledge, and, you know, being able to signpost people to all of these different parts of the community is really, really interesting. So we're going to carry on this conversation right after this. A very good evening to you, and welcome back to the MK Mental Health Hour for Sunday evening. Tonight we're talking all about social prescribing. We've just discussed what social prescribing is, but Jan, who is it for?
So the service is for anybody that's 18 or over. Short-term intervention to help improve their health and well-being. It's for people with one or more long-term conditions, for example, COPD, arthritis, fibromyalgia, Parkinson's, dementia, people with complicated and chaotic lifestyles, so homelessness, poor housing, poverty, domestic abuse. We can signpost to refugee charities and things. Older people that are frail, you know, with muscle weakness and sight impairment, poor mobility, you know, because we can do referrals to OTs. I work on a team called the Primary Impact Team, and on that team is two occupational therapists, a social worker, a nurse, and two social prescribers.
It's really quite diverse.
Yeah,
then
it's not, because
I know in the last link we mentioned about mental health issues quite a lot.
Yeah,
and obviously it's a mental health hour.
Yeah,
but we see, and I think Jan, you've referred a few people through to Arthrellis, which has been lovely. So thank you.
You're welcome.
But there's different levels of mental health, as we know.
Yeah.
So if somebody is really struggling, would social prescribing be appropriate?
If their mental health is managed, and by that we mean, you know, if you are taking any medications prescribed to you, or you have a mental health team around you, yes, absolutely, and you're ready to engage, and we'll ask you those questions as well when we come and see you if you're ready to engage. If you're in crisis, we can't support you, and that's only because you're probably not ready to engage with anything else apart from getting your mental well-being sorted. That doesn't mean that if you go into crisis whilst I'm supporting you that I'm just gonna end the support. I won't. I'd get you the mental health support that you needed, but I would back off and regularly contact you, and just to see when you're ready to re-engage with myself.
And by crisis we mean if somebody is at a level of risk right there and
risk
then,
to
really.
Themselves or anybody else.
It's often the case, and we call them clients rather than patients, but we have clients of really varying degrees. So either people just need a bit of guidance, a bit of help through a situation that might be temporary, or getting on top of a long-term condition.
Absolutely, and we do referrals to mental health services, so I do a lot of referrals to Mind and IAPT. I did put on a session with IAPT for people with long-term conditions at Age UK Milton Keynes, who also have a social prescribing service called Live Life. And I got together with Maddie, who works at IAPT, who they really wanted to try and get to an older cohort of people who don't realise necessarily that they have a mental mental difficulty because of their long-term condition, they don't realise that their arthritis or their COPD is causing them to have mental difficulties. So it was to bring them together and get them to realise the relationship with your physical well-being and your mental well-being. And it went really well, actually. It was
Brilliant.
Really good. Yeah. We try and support everybody if we can. So again, I'll go back to who's it for. So if you're lonely and isolated, or if you're bereaved, you've got finance problems, housing problems, we can try and support you to get those things back up to a level where they're not causing you mental distress.
Well, you are clearly a really vital link within the community and with all of those different, it's a hugely varied, like John said, it's wide ranging. Why do you think that social prescribing works?
Because of the results that we get, the feedback that we get from patients, the get less appointments at the GP surgeries, because, you know, it just works. It really does help people to empower themselves to get their lives back on track. It works. It just does work. The results that we see are fantastic. You know, I haven't had many people come back to me. I've had a couple of people come back and say, oh, I just need a bit more help, which is great. And
things
I can just,
in life change, don't they?
Absolutely. So quickly. So quickly.
Mm.
But it's nice when you've supported that person and they may have been in a real awful place, and then you don't hear from them again. And your work is done. It's great. So it just does work. That's why it works. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier that you're happy to go out in the community. You often meet in like a clinical setting, but
we can
go out and meet people, and I suppose that probably helps to build a rapport and a better understanding of what
Absolutely.
They need.
I've been to knitting clubs.
Oh, that
sounds
lovely.
I've been to all sorts of things with patients. Absolutely, yeah.
And from a mental health perspective, and I wouldn't speak about it from a physical health perspective, but certainly like lifestyle and environment can really, really help. You mentioned about, I think we spoke off air about the biopsychosocial model. Mm-hmm. So bio is kind of like your physical health, social is your environment around you and your relationships, and then psycho is like the way that you're thinking.
Yeah.
So that's a really quite interesting model to say if someone's got a physical issue, the bio, then it's going to have a knock-on effect to their social and psycho.
It will. Right. And if you can get all of that to marry up nicely together in a nice circle.
Absolutely, yeah.
Then, you know, it's really going to benefit the person in the long run.
Yeah, and we generally do look at a physical health issue as a physical health issue without taking into account that's going to have a knock-on effect to how the person is thinking and feeling. Absolutely.
Because if you're in pain all the time,
you're not going to feel,
it's a constant reminder.
That's
it. But also it can have an impact in, you know, going out and seeing your friends.
Of course it can.
Those sorts of things.
And then that can bring on the loneliness and isolation. So these things, you know, can go round in circles. So it's important that we look holistically. And that's the point of social prescribing, that it's holistic. It looks at the whole environment of the person, what is happening to the person to make them feel the way that they're feeling.
And we mentioned off air that you kind of don't have a 10-minute window in which that you can speak to somebody.
No.
You kind of will chat to them for as long or as little as they want to.
Generally, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And we can do as many home visits as necessary, phone calls as necessary. We're supporting people to places. Really, we don't want to do that too much because we want to empower the patient to be able to get there themselves. But but you can gauge it. You'll know when they're ready.
And with everything, I suppose there might be some challenges along the way. So we're going to be talking a little bit about those challenges next. So on the Mental Health Hour this evening, we're talking all about social prescribing, and we've heard about all of the great benefits of social prescribing, but what might be some of the challenges?
Often a lot of the referrals I get for people are to do with, certainly at the moment, are debt issues and housing issues, people being evicted. And so the challenge is that they haven't got any money to access services. So even if they were isolated, they can't access a group to get to it. And their mental health isn't in the right place anyway at that time. So these health inequalities have a direct negative impact on the patients, so it's quite a struggle. There's other things, you know, we try and identify gaps in services. Money is one, transport's another. So if you stop driving because of your long-term condition, or if you don't have a car, or you haven't got a bike, again, you know, there's not a brilliant transport service in Milton Keynes for people that might not be able to access buses, can't afford taxis. Those are challenges that we face.
And it makes sense, because if somebody lives in Bletchley, there might be a really, really good service for them in Stony Stratford that isn't available in Bletchley.
Yep.
So that's kind of, is that what you mean by health inequality?
Absolutely, yeah, because they can't access it. That creates the health inequality, doesn't it? So if there's something available somewhere else, but you come from an area miles away and there isn't the service there, that's an inequality. So that's absolutely right, John, yeah.
Yeah, and language and those sorts of things, speaking different languages. Obviously, Milton Keynes is so diverse.
Yeah, we have a translation service that we use within our surgery, so we can access the translator, so that's great. It's via the phone. We can get them in person, but we tend to do it via telephone, and it's a three-way call, and I've used it and it is good, so we can get across language barriers, thankfully.
You mentioned homelessness and like housing issues. So if someone is homeless, I know that there's such a wonderful bunch over at the YMCA, but I have the impression, unfortunately, I've never been in that position or been close to it. I'm very lucky, but I can imagine most of these things, you need an address to register. And how do you go about that?
Well, fortunately now we have what's called safe surgeries, and our PCN contains the safe surgeries. So that means that it can be a barrier if you don't have immigration status, a fixed abode address or a passport or photo ID, that is a barrier. But everybody is entitled to access healthcare, any type of healthcare. So our surgery is a safe surgery. So you can register with our surgery if you're homeless, for example. That's how you can access healthcare with us. I work for the Bridge PCN, so I can only take referrals from patients registered to either Newport Pagnell, Brooklands or Kingfisher. But you could call any of the GP surgeries around Milton Keynes to, one, find out about surgery prescribing. It's pretty accessible across Milton Keynes. I know that Age UK, Milton Keynes provide link workers for, I think it's 4 PCNs. And it's the only service Age UK provide that's 18 plus. So you don't have to be over 55 to get social prescribing from Age UK. It's 18 plus, and they take from all over Milton Keynes as well, so you don't have to be with a GP surgery. So that's
I think you
great.
Get have an assumption that maybe Age UK is kind of for the elderly, but actually it is just 18 plus.
It is this service, social prescribing service, the Live Life service, is 18 plus. Yeah.
One of the challenges must be that people just don't know about social prescribing.
Yes, absolutely. It's not. It's becoming more widely known now. And its inception was really quite a few years ago, and it started in London. And it's gradually migrated out, through the rest of the country. And certainly in Milton Keynes, I think the first proper drive with it was 2019. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that was when it first came to the forefront. And so people aren't aware of social prescribing, especially patients. It's great that the GPs and all the other health professionals are getting to grips with this service that's on offer to them as well, because that then means that they know there's somewhere they can signpost their patients to, they can refer to us. And our primary impact team that we work on is great, because it's not only social prescribing. If you've got if you are struggling around your home and you might need carer support, then we would signpost to Tiny, our social work assistant. Or if we've got Joe and Victoria. Joe's our HCA and Victoria's a nurse, and they will go out and assess your circumstances and see if you need that kind of support and check to make sure your medications are okay, that you're taking them properly. And then they can assess and see if you might need an occupational therapy referral. And we have two occupational therapists, Gwenda and Dawn, and they will come out and assess your home to see if you need aids and adaptations, and anything larger than sort of general things around the home would go to community OT. But so that's what's great about having this team, is that professionals can refer into, because it means that you get quick support. Obviously there's still wait times, but it's not as quick as a patient being called by 5 different people when we can sort get it sorted in one session. We have an MDT meeting every Thursday where we discuss complex cases.
And just in terms of acronyms, that's multidisciplinary teams.
Thank you, John.
Yes. Yeah, and we do have that every Thursday. And then, because sometimes the cases may overlap, you might need social prescribing and OT and social prescribing and social work. Or it might come to me and it's like, well, actually, this isn't appropriate for social prescribing.
Right.
This is really more to do with Tiny and Dawn, you know, the occupational therapist and the social work assistant. So that's what's great about having that meeting, so we can capture everything and make sure patients are getting the right support that they need and not just sitting waiting thinking, oh, I'm waiting for a referral from here and I'm waiting for a referral from there. We can do it directly within our team.
Brilliant. It is such a vital service that up until today I had no idea even existed, so thank you so much for sharing that.
And it can be super effective. So if you take something like depression, for example, it's very difficult to say specifically because everyone's very different, but sometimes medication isn't necessarily appropriate for somebody. So I think there was this massive perception that depression and mental health issues is just purely down to chemical imbalances in the brain. Take some tablets and you'll get sorted, and that is true in some cases, but I think there's around 9 different types of causes when it comes to something like depression, and about 7 of them are improved by lifestyle changes.
Wow.
So purely by looking at how we're spending our time, improving those sorts of things, it can have a huge impact without any medication.
Absolutely. And my colleague Patrice, who sadly couldn't be here today because she was poorly, she is working alongside our mental health practitioner at the PCN. So she's going to help him with his clinics and introduce social prescribing to the patients with the mental health difficulties. So she will help run his clinic with him. As you said, it isn't just prescribing medication or sitting and having a chat. It's looking at everything. So Patrice, that's what she's going to be doing as well.
There was a beautiful story about, I think it was about a group of men who, middle-aged men, you know, who had chronic depression, like clinical depression for all of their lives. And they were all part of this group trying to get some support. And it was a bit of talking and, you know, they kind of sat around in a circle thing that you could probably imagine. And once some more data came out about this lifestyle stuff, they all started to go to an allotment. And they started to work in the allotment
men in
together.
Sheds?
I think it was probably related to men in sheds, but I don't think it was specifically to those.
But similar.
Similar kind of thing. And these guys had been having issues for years. And then a couple of months of working in the allotments, a lot of their depression cleared up.
How wonderful.
And it's just remarkable the impact this stuff can have. And I would encourage people to stick with it, because mental health support, I think a lot of stuff is, if you imagine antibiotics, you know, you prescribed sort of 7 days of antibiotics, you might start to feel better after 2, but you need to carry on with the other 5
Absolutely.
In order to build up the resilience for next time.
Which is why our PCN, we've recognised that social prescribing will have a brilliant impact for those mental health patients that are coming to see our practitioner. You know, so if we can incorporate his support and her support, it's just going to be nice and holistic and hopefully well-rounded.
Absolutely. Well, it's so vital, and we're going to carry on the conversation right after this. So on the Mental Health Hour this evening, we've been talking all about social prescribing. And to access a social prescriber, you generally need to go to a GP surgery. But if people aren't really sure about that pathway, what are some other ways that maybe they can start to better their health and their well-being?
Yeah, well, there's loads of stuff for our well-being that we can do. And lifestyle is quite a broad term. I think sometimes I don't know really how to summarise lifestyle if someone says that to me. So Arthur Ellis, we refer to it across 5 different types of behaviour. We call them our bananas. Now, bear with me, guys. It's weird.
The bananas.
The banana
behaviours.
Your bunch of bananas. So what would happen, to just an open question to both of you, what would happen if you were to introduce a piece of fruit to your diet every day for a couple of weeks? What's going to happen to you over time?
Well, you might end up enjoying fruits more.
Yeah, develop healthy habits.
Absolutely.
Would you feel different?
Yes, you would, because you're healthy. Helping in good...
Apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Quite exactly. Good vitamins and nutrients.
Good quality energy and all of those sorts of things.
Things that are released.
These behaviours that I'll walk you through are kind of like that. But what's important to mention is that a banana or something, you know, a piece of fruit, you can take it in your stride. It's part of your day. It's not going to interrupt the rest of your meals. You're not going to be full to not have dinner. It's just something that you can do. So we've got these 5 areas of behavior. The first one we call move. So that's not necessarily exercise as such, because exercise means So to some people, sweat dripping off your nose. Mm. But when we say move, it's going for those walks, you know, getting out. And even if you're struggling to do that, you know, if you go to the toilet, maybe do two laps.
Move your bits. Just get moving.
Move your bits. Yeah.
There are quite a few walking groups around Milton Keynes as well that are free. I think there's a Newport Pagnell walking group. So if you have a little look online and just Google walking groups in Milton Keynes, you'll be able to find some that you can access. They have women-only walking groups. I know that there's one in Fuller Slade as well. I think it's called Women Can Do This.
Oh,
I've just seen it on Facebook, on my personal Facebook. So there are free activities out there as well. So don't think you have to have loads of money to get any form of exercise.
And we're so lucky in Milton Keynes to have so many lovely places to go and walk and move and do all the lakes
that are around. Mm.
Absolutely. We're actually going to do a show on moving for your well-being in a few weeks. So that's going to give people a lot more information. And then the second banana is we call focus. So that's anything that draws our attention to the present moment. So much of our lives is in the future. So it's a really good thing to sort of practice being in the present. And that's things like writing, drawing. I know we've spoken off air about Arts for Health.
Yeah. Yes, there's some where we refer into for low-level mental health support is Arts for Health as well, because, you know, being artistic can help support you, you know,
absolutely.
Can make you feel better if you've drawn this wonderful bit of work, you know. So there's lots of things. There are some paid classes around Milton Keynes, but there are some free courses. So if you do fancy that, and it is going to support
and
your mental health.
As long as you've got a pencil and a bit of paper,
absolutely.
You don't necessarily need to go to a formal class.
No,
do you?
Not at all.
Doesn't
you can just go
good,
and sit outside.
You know?
No, and you're not a product. It doesn't have to be good.
Exactly, yeah.
You're not selling it. It's, you can be rubbish at it. Mm. It doesn't matter. You're enjoying it. So you can just look out your window and draw the clouds, whatever you fancy.
And focus isn't necessarily just art. It's also like meditation and those things come into it. So
absolutely.
There's, you know, YouTube videos, listen to them, have a break and just sort of be in the present. So that's focus and it can be really,
really
powerful.
And there's lots of apps as well you can get downloaded for, you know, mental focus as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then the third one's discover. So that's something about, not necessarily, it's about learning new things, but the actual benefit isn't necessarily about the thing that you learn. It's about the accomplishment of learning it. So it can have a really good impact to our confidence, our self-esteem. So there's a variety, like, you know, I know MK College has a variety of courses you can sign up to.
Oh, absolutely. And there's courses as well at the council, you know, that we can signpost you to as well. So if you fancy getting back into education.
Yeah.
And that can just be for personal reasons. It doesn't have to be, you know, an end game. It could just be that you want to just do something for yourself and have that for your own
well-being,
your own little CV, your pride.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you know. So
and it doesn't necessarily have to be like a formal course. A tap broke at my house once, and sorry to Milton Keynes plumbers, but I thought, right, I'm gonna avoid the call out charge. I'm gonna learn how to fix it myself, and I was so proud of myself, you know. And it's that accomplishment that can kind of give us a bit of a boost. So the fourth banana is communicate, and that's essentially socialising, friends, family, colleagues, getting out there.
Actually, some of them are even mixed, because like you were talking about the walking groups, you'll be walking, which is doing your moving bit, but then you'll be communicating with people as well.
Absolutely.
Also,
you know, there's like loads of places we can go and volunteer in Milton Keynes if you want to go out and communicate and be with other people.
Yeah, well, the final one is help. So that's kind of not necessarily just helping others, but being in a position to help others.
Yeah.
So, yeah, volunteering. And I'm sure you probably know a variety of places that people can go and
volunteer. Yeah, you know, there's the Mead Centre ran a course on how to be a volunteer.
Really? Wow.
Absolutely, yeah. And I signposted a patient there, you know. But there's all sorts of places. There's charity shops all across Milton Keynes that need, you know, and that's quite social because there's people coming in and out all the time, and you get to help people as well.
Yeah.
So that can come under help, you know. What are you looking for, madam? That kind of thing.
And these things, again, similar to discover and courses, it doesn't have to be formal. I mean, when it comes to communicate, you could just try and make an effort to say hello to people when you're going for a walk.
Yeah.
You know, just providing it safe, and then obviously they don't look dangerous or anything like that.
Yeah.
But just as you walk past, say hello to people. That's communicate. That's wonderful. Help.
You're at the park with the kids, walking the dog.
Yeah, help could be, you know, helping around the house. you know, wash up without being asked, do some chores around the house. I'm sure that parents would really encourage their kids to get involved.
Goodness me, yes. Without being asked would be lovely.
It's good for their own well-being.
It is.
But all of these things, you've just summarised it, both of you, so perfectly, because all of these things are really simple, really easy, really accessible things.
And they can be free.
And they can be free, but they can make such a huge, huge difference.
A nice positive impact on, instead of a negative one. We're finding more and more negative impacts in our lives at the moment. Oh, absolutely. And with the cost of living and everything going on at the moment, there's so much outside pressure for people. And so these small little things that might seem small and insignificant aren't.
Those five areas are what make up well-being. And I'm sorry to break it to people, but, you know, a fancy car has never really improved someone's well-being.
No.
It can do very, very temporarily.
Yeah, it's a quick fix, though, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's these fundamental behaviours that we all need as human beings. And as more technology comes into society and a variety of those influences, it can change our relationships with them. So just by addressing our bananas, and you know, we maybe do a show on it in the future.
Absolutely, because there's so much just within talking about the bananas.
There is a lot. But that makes up our lifestyle. So people can have a look at those five areas to begin with, and start, you know, making really positive changes for themselves, or even encouraging others within their lives to do them.
Absolutely. Some really vital information in the show this evening. So up next, we're going to do, hopefully, a nice, quick, short, succinct summary about social prescribing and everything we've learned tonight. So this evening on the MK Mental Health Hour, we've been talking about social prescribing. So many great tips that we've run through tonight. So, John, can you just give us a bit of an update and a summary of what we've discussed tonight?
I can try.
Please, thank you.
I can try. So social prescribing is available for anyone over the age of 18. Majority of surgeries across Milton Keynes have access to it. Whether you're dealing with a long-term health condition, whether it's a long-term mental health condition, or maybe you're just feeling blurt and you just don't really know how to describe it, but you just need something that's going to make you feel a little bit better. So this social prescriber is going to steer you towards incredible things across the community that are going to help, whether it's to do with your lifestyle, improve the way that you feel, improve the way that you manage your condition, and ultimately improve your life overall. So they're incredible. They are really an incredible bunch, and also very, very effective, because they're a bit less restricted in relation to GP surgeries, the ones where, you know, maybe it's a 7-minute appointment. They can really spend some time to get to the crux of what is going to help you, and then guide you towards primarily like free services across the community that you can access. So really, really helpful. The only thing to mention is that it's not necessarily for somebody in crisis. So if you are in crisis, that needs to be A&E straight away, basically. Also, if you are worried about someone, you can call the police to do a welfare check on them just to make sure that they're okay. Or you can give Samaritans a call on 116 123. Generally speaking, you can start doing things yourself without going through that process. I would really encourage you to have a look at your lifestyle within Move, Focus, Discover, Communicate and Help. We are going to do more shows on this in the future, but start. That's the main thing. No matter how big or small it is, like we said, Move doesn't necessarily have to be a marathon straight away. It could be walking to the end of your driveway if you're able to do that. Mm. It could be clapping on your sofa. Whatever it might be, just make a start and then you're going to start feeling better.
Fantastic. And we've been talking about your bananas this evening. If people want to find out more information about the bananas and about the great work that you do at Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support, how can they do that, John?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we cover 5 out of the 7 catchment areas in Milton Keynes. So if anyone does feel like they need to talk to somebody, again, we're not a crisis service either. But if you do want to access some one-to-one support, you can go to your GP. You can even, if you've got kids in schools, encourage your schools to refer out to us. And if they don't work with us already, ask them why not, and get them to reach out to us so we can get more of this support across the community. But generally, if you want to reach out to us, it's arthurellismhs.com.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, John. And also big thanks to Jan Young as well, social prescriber in Milton Keynes. Jan, if people want to contact a social prescriber, how might they go about doing that?
What you need to do is go to your GP surgery and ask for a social prescribing referral. Your GP might recognise that you need one, so they might suggest it to you. Or you can contact HUK Milton Keynes and ask for their Live Life service. Okay, so to reiterate, just contact your surgery and say, I feel like I need a social prescribing referral, and they'll make the referral for you. They might ask you a few questions and see what's going on and why. That's normal and that's natural, so that's fine. Just be prepared to answer a few questions. So yeah, that's how you can get in contact with us.
Brilliant.
And one thing to mention is that receptionists are trained care coordinators, so sometimes people get a bit defensive if receptionists in GP surgeries ask some questions, but they are qualified.
They're trained to do that.
Absolutely.
It's to make sure that it's for you. It's to make sure you get the right support. So they do get a lot of calls, and obviously we want to be kind to them as much as we can.
Absolutely. Well, thank you both so much for joining us this evening for the Mental Health Hour. It's been so incredible, and we will be podcasting the full interview if you did miss any parts of it over on our website, which is at mkfm.com. thank you again for joining us, and join us next month for another MK Mental Health Hour.